نجينا من برك وإحسانك فباليقين أقطعه لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما لكنك تقدست أسماؤك أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين وأن تجل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون إلهي وسيدي فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته كتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيتي يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد ومن كادني فكيد واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجود منك واعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام يا عالما لا يعلم صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وأهلك أعدائهم. We congratulate the brothers and sisters on the occasion of the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alih, although the date is the 17th of Rabi'ul Awwal, but it's definitely something that we can congratulate brothers and sisters before the day of, and many days before, many times, and inshallah we'll have celebrations this week and inshallah the following week. And I hope that we are able to take advantage of occasions that we celebrate religious dates and events in a, not the same way, but in a similar way, in that we consider them sha'airullah, the same way that Muharram is sha'airullah, part of sha'airullah. We need to realize that these celebrations are also sha'airullah if we perform them in a way that is pleasing to Allah, pleasing to the Holy Prophet, and pleasing to his progeny, the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in. One of the things that in the context of the birth of the Prophet, we need to remind ourselves, each other, genuinely as brothers and sisters in Islam, is that we have got to use all the common elements of faith and practice that we can find between us as Muslimin, as wide a scope as we can find, to come together and share those elements of faith and share ourselves and our proximity to those elements, to those principles, to those pillars. Coming together as Muslimin based on these elements of faith that we share is necessary. Especially when we're talking about the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Why do I say especially when we are celebrating our beloved Prophet? It's because the Prophet of Islam, one of the things that he preached to us during his lifetime, many occasions, but also towards the end of his life in Hajjatul Wida', he made it a point to mention. We're talking about the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of God. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't say things out of negligence. He doesn't miss things out of negligence. He doesn't speak without knowledge. He knows things that we don't know at the time. For instance, when we say that he preached this idea, the wording is this. In Hajjatul Wida', the Holy Prophet said, the believers, this is Hajjatul Wida'. Now, this is a celebration right now we're having, but we're talking about a preaching that's close to and a reminder of the demise of the Prophet. He said that after me, you need to continue this. The principles are the following. Whoever says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ
They are Muslimin, and their blood is respected, their dignity is respected, and you are brothers, and all of you who share those two elements of faith are yadun, one hand, ala man siwahum,
against those who are against them. One power, one might, one body. This is what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Anytime we mention and discuss the Prophet, one of the necessary and important messages that we need to remind ourselves and review is this. When the Prophet said, anyone who says and believes in these two elements of faith is Muslim, and they are protected, and they are brothers, and you should be, he says this, he doesn't limit it at that. He says, وَهُمْ يَدٌ عَلَى مَنْ سِوَاهُمْ.
There are one power when there are others that are against them. When there's مَنْ سِوَاهُمْ, there's others in comparison to others. There's an element of مَنْ سِوَاهُمْ, there are others.
The Prophet, in that context, looking at the whole picture, everyone involved, the Prophet emphasized, you need to be one, ala man siwahum. Those man siwahum, the enemies within man siwahum, others, are actually having a lot of problem with this, wahum yadun, all of them forming one yad. I'll have a few words about that, that I will say, inshallah, what that means. They're one hand.
But before that, I was trying to explain this idea. When the Prophet said this, no one can say, well, this is the Prophet, he's speaking in the context where there isn't a division yet. This is a time where there weren't those who took away the right of governance and khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib, of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This cannot be said for two reasons. One is, for the reason that I already mentioned, the Holy Prophet, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, don't treat his words as our words. If he's speaking for after himself, he knows of exactly what will happen all the way until the end of time.
In that context, whoever says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, they are Muslimin, وَهُمْ يَدُونَ. That's number one, that we already know that. Besides that, something we've mentioned before as well, if anybody thinks, even based on material evidence, there wasn't evidence of there being a plot for this to happen, they're wrong. It was evident that people were working towards this. So the Prophet not only knew from the knowledge of the unseen and divine knowledge that God provided to him, and everything that he said is divinely guided and is a guidance until the day of judgment, not for that day only. It's all the way until the day of judgment, whatever the conditions may be, unless he said that in other conditions, act differently, behave differently. If he didn't set any boundary, if he didn't put any qualifier, if he didn't condition a ruling to something, it's absolute, it's without condition. That means it's without condition. You didn't set any conditions. وَهُمْ يَدٌ عَلَى مَنْ سِوَاهُ. Now, what does it mean when he says, وَهُمْ يَدٌ عَلَى مَنْ سِوَاهُ? Yad is a parable in Arabic, a figure of speech that refers to power. When you do things, you do them with your hands. Okay, your hands are the symbol of power. When it says in the Holy Quran, the Jews quoting them, now their language is Hebrew, it's not Arabic, but the Quran quotes them, so it's putting it in Arabic language. قَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. God's hands are tied. What does that mean? He doesn't have ability. He doesn't have power. Not that God, ayyadu billah, although in some instances the Jews and others went as far as saying God, ayyadu billah, God forbid, had a physical material body of some sort, that's completely wrong. That's not what the Quran is even attributing to them in that particular context, at least. What they're saying is that God, after creation, He created a system that even He cannot interfere in. That's what they were saying. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says their hands are tied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands are completely open and is not restricted by anything that He has created or anything whatsoever. Yad means that power, ability. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said that Muslimin need to be one hand, that means all the abilities of Muslimin, all the power in whatever area, in sciences, in economics, in politics, in military, whatever it is, all these abilities and powers need to be joined together. It needs to form one, not even cooperation in a sense that we have different entities and we're completely separate and we'll just, you know, have a little something to do with one another. No, it needs to form one hand, one power, one unit functioning. This is what our beloved Prophet has said to us in those very important times of his life. After all the work that he has done, he says the one very important teaching that you need to have is this. Brothers and sisters, shayateen always work against and try to do the opposite of what God and His Messenger have said. We've got to be mindful of two things. One is find the guidance of Allah and the Prophet and conform with it, comply with it, act upon it, implement it. And secondly, know that the enemies are working against it. Anything in the slightest way working against this, know that this is the work of Iblis himself. It doesn't matter what the person is wearing, what language they're using. And this doesn't go against that teaching of Wahum Yadun Ala Man Siwahum. The Holy Prophet, while he said Wahum Yadun Ala Man Siwahum, the same Quran talks about munafiqeen. Talks about taking shayateen of ins and jinn seriously. We need to form one hand in going and conforming with God's teachings. Muslimin need to unite, be one unit, work together, bring all their abilities together in moving forward with what God has taught. That's the whole point of Muslimin coming together. This is not an ethnicity. This isn't some culture that doesn't have a vision, that doesn't have direction. It's just we come together, we share the way we dress, or we share the way we speak, or what we share is an ideology, a direction, a vision for the future, a path, siratun mustaqim. All of us keep repeating in the daily prayers. We want to unite in moving along siratun mustaqim. And so if any call comes from anyone that shares or says they are of this, but it's against those teachings, we need to identify them as whether they know it or not. That word is a word of nifaq and kufr. Sometimes negligent, ignorant people may say something, they don't realize how wrong it is. Okay. Sometimes people may say some very wrong things. If it's a believer, a real believer that didn't realize how wrong that is, it's a different story. We're not talking about people who don't realize what this means or they don't realize what the Prophet's teaching is. They've been misguided. We're talking about the ones who are the ones who mislead. Anyone, any voice to work against this unity, any voice that preaches that Muslimin should not be working together, Muslimin should not join hands, Muslimin should not be one body, one unit, they want to fragment us, They want to say these guys are Iranian, those guys are Egyptian, these guys are Indian, these guys are Pakistani, those others are Afghan, or this is Iraqi, and that's Kurd, and that's this, and that.
Any type of fragmentation based on ethnicity, based on language, based on sects of Islam, any fragmentation. The Prophet of Allah said, whoever says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad, if you believe this, you need to form one hand. The enemies of Islam want to do the exact opposite. Based on ethnicity, they do it so many times. And unfortunately, they have succeeded. We've had casualties. I'm talking about ideological casualties, besides the physical casualties that conflicts have caused. We have Muslimin fighting Muslimin. In the name of this guy is this and that guy is that. Okay, these guys are Yemenis, these guys are Saudi Arabians, or whatever. This guy is Houthi in Yemen, the other guy is not a Houthi, it's different. Enemies of Islam create that. And of course, those are right. The Houthis are right, the Yemenis are right, the Saudis are wrong. The enemies of Islam are behind the Saudis. But they have created this. They want the believers not to work together. They don't want to see mu'mineen working alongside each other. They don't want to see Hezbollah and Hamas working together. They don't want to see the Islamic Republic working with Palestinians, with Iraqis. Iraqis working with Palestinians, working with Syrians, working with Afghans and Pakistanis and Indians, or Bahrainis, or Yemenis, or Egyptians, or Tunisians, Libyans. They don't want this to happen. The Prophet of Islam said this is what we need to do. I hope that with the blessing of the birth and the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the material part of this universe with the noble and blessed existence of the Prophet that we are celebrating these days and these weeks, this week approximately, week and a half that we're celebrating this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us take steps towards this teaching of the Holy Prophet, that the best implementer after the Prophet, as this was a wasiyah of the Prophet for after himself, the best ones implementing him, this, first and foremost, is Fatima al-Zahra and Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhima. No matter what happened, no matter what the troubles that came their way from elements within this, but whatever decision would have been favoring them, but causing even the slightest issue towards this unity of the Ummah. They took all the burden on themselves to make sure they preserve this teaching of the Prophet, which is extremely important. Amir al-Mu'mineen says this. For some of the incidents, the events that took place after the demise of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, Amir al-Mu'mineen's instructions were clear. One of the elements, one of the points that Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions in regards to the stance he took, although it was a responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put on his shoulders to govern and to lead, and he had the right, and others didn't have that right, although that is the case, that is a truth that so many verses and ahadith are clearly indicating. Then, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are Amir al-Mu'mineen, when we ask, then why isn't it that we see that you took that, the Holy Prophet worked with the sword, you knew how to work with the sword. What? One of the responses Amir al-Mu'mineen has given in his words is this, that if I had taken any other measure, it would have caused the fragmentation of the Muslim Ummah. So everything that happened behind his order, why? This teaching of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. if Amirul Mu'mineen is like that, I'm addressing all Muslimin. This is a teaching all of us need to. These are the words of the Holy Prophet. All Muslimin can find. This is not something that we, you know, historically anyone disagrees with. These are clear teachings of the Holy Prophet. Anyone within the Shia community or otherwise that preaches against this is preaching against the sayings of the Prophet. Anyone, whatever sect they want to call themselves, we don't care about what name you put on yourself, what sect you call yourself. What's important are the teachings of the Prophet, the teachings of Islam. This is a clear teaching of Islam. Anyone within the bounds of Islam that calls another a kafir is going against this teaching. If that person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, according to the Prophet, they are Muslim. You cannot consider them kafir and you cannot fight them, you cannot kill them just because they disagree with whatever it is. So this is a general message for all Muslimin. Whoever would like to be reminded of it, these are the words of the Holy Prophet that can be found in all books. But especially, we are the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. They are the ones who implemented the Sunnah of the Prophet and the teachings of the Qur'an beyond all. If you call especially yourself a Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the lover of Zahra, the follower of Imam al-Husayn and Imam al-Mujtaba, and the rest of the Imams, you have got to be making sure you implement this the way Ali ibn Abi Talib did. Even if it requires sacrifice. Even if the enemies of Islam get at some point, I remember unfortunately these ridiculous statements, words of Iblis coming out of the mouth of someone who identifies as Shia and speaks on behalf of the Shia. Like, oh, look at them, there's Palestinians amongst the Daeshis, and therefore we should not be, they're killing Iraqi people, so we should not support Palestine. Is this what Amir al-Mu'mineen taught? Is this what Ali ibn Abi Talib did? Even if there is a confused or even a munafiq Palestinian, because of that one munafiq Palestinian that has joined Daesh or the ignorant Palestinian, you want to go against this teaching of Islam? You're calling to leave the matter of are Palestinians not Muslimin? Is Palestine not Muslim land? What is this? If you're Shia and you call yourself a follower of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayhima wa ala awladihima wa ala abiha, you've got to, even if you have sacrificed more, and the individual and the individuals who say this have not sacrificed anything, they haven't lost anything. Those who have lost, just like Ali ibn Abi Talib, you still have to keep going with it. That's what it is. We don't care if others sacrifice, they don't sacrifice, they go exactly based on this, they don't. We have to. We have an obligation. If the Prophet says, whoever says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, is a Muslim, and they need to be one hand, I don't care if anybody else puts any effort into this. As the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib and the followers of Fatima al-Zahra and the followers of Hassanain who followed the Holy Prophet, we have got to put every effort in making this happen. Even if others don't, it doesn't matter. Go keep forward pushing. Push for it. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist. Look at the result. These kuffar wanted to fragment Iraq, tear it into different pieces. They wanted to fragment Iran. They have wanted to fragment the Muslim Ummah as they once did, unfortunately. So some of these borders are created by the kuffar. Some of them were unfortunately created by Muslimin before the kuffar. But some of these borders, the fragmentation of the Muslim lands was the doing of the kuffar. And they wanted to do that further. The only thing that has caused the unification of those regions of Iraq, Syria, at least Iraq remain as it is. Syria, at least don't fragment anymore. Let Syria remain one. Let Lebanon remain one. Palestine is one. Yemen, similarly, there's a great effort to try to fragment Yemen. What has caused them not to be able to? It's the Muslimin with the leadership that we have, alhamdulillah, these days, that has pushed despite whatever odds and all what the enemies have tried to do in the name of this is Sunni, you guys are Shia, how you guys work together. We don't use those titles when we're listening to this teaching of the Prophet. Whoever is a Muslim, because of those efforts, because of that leadership, because of listening to that leadership who echoes the words of the Prophet in this day and age, Muslimin have worked together, Shia, Sunni, Arab, Kurd, Iranian, Afghan, Pakistani, Indian, whatever the ethnic or sectarian background is, they've worked together, and these countries have remained intact and they have not been able to. This is an example of وَهُمْ يَدٌ عَلَى مَنْ سَوَى. Some people are doing this. Let's join all those who are joining together in this. Inshallah, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi will help us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of the Imam of our time, that he hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah to protect all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all people worldwide of the pandemic that we're dealing with. We ask Allah to guide the minds of the believers to a cure that will effectively change the conditions and the difficulties that all people are dealing with. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali rahimallah man qara al-Fatihah ma'a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.